shine a little over. Glimmer, glimmer, lead us less too far. We
want evening. Welcome to As the Worm Turns. I'm your host, Jill Spears. Happy New Year to everybody. It's January 3rd, 2023. We've got Lance and Lulu on their winter break, and I am pleased tonight to be joined by Pete Kolbenschlag. Hi, Pete.
Hi, Jill. Thank you for having me.
Great for you to be here. Pete is from the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance, the director there. And boy, this organization does a lot of things. And we just have so many resources here on the Western Slope, especially in the North Fork and surrounding area, the listening area here. And Pete has been here in this area for 20 plus years and really involved with the environment and food, and perfect organization for you to be here talking about, Pete.
Great. Thank you, Joe. And thanks for having me. I love to be able to talk about the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance and kind of what we've been up to and maybe some of the things we'll be working on in this new year. Our mission is to educate about the importance of agriculture in Colorado and to create a platform for advocacy and leadership development around sustainable food systems, local farms, secure rural communities, resilient rural places, and kind of climate forward leadership from a land-rooted, rural-rooted base.
Wow. Yeah, that encompasses a lot of things. And you've got a lot of partners, and you've got a good team over there at your shop, Colorado Farm and Food Alliance.
Yes. So right now, Elizabeth Agee runs our Just Good Food program. We have Lauren Traylor, who does our research and a lot of our policy and analysis work, and have a number of volunteers and love to work in close partnership with other organizations, other community groups, other projects that are going on in and around the community.
All right. We'll probably get to some of those. I'm going to give the phone numbers because we are a live call-in show and we'd love to hear from our listeners. Pete has a wealth of knowledge. 970-527-4868-866. KVNF now. You can email worm@kvnf.org. So much going on in your organization. Let's start with probably the biggest overall thing, which is food security.
Right. So I think in the last few years, a lot of folks around the nation have been faced with vulnerabilities around food systems and supply chains. Become somewhat cliche, those vulnerabilities. And when we think of food security here in the North Fork, perhaps we are a little more fortunate because we can think of it in a very direct sort of way about, you know, how can we support our local food system in a way that puts food on our table, but also supports our farmers and our community. And so we like to think of it, our organization likes to think of food security kind of in terms of economic security. So what helps our farmers, what helps our communities, what helps farm workers. We like to think of it in terms of equity. So what is fair if we're not feeding people, and not only feeding people, but making sure that this high quality food that we grow here in places like the North Fork is getting to people who need nutrition. And then thirdly, kind of like resilience and sustainability and what it means to have farm and food systems that are built for the long term.
Wow, that's big stuff these days. It really is. And, you know, I think that you haven't ever been faced with food security issues. You tend to take it for granted. And I think as we go forth in the world, in the changing world, what you're doing is so important, all of those aspects of it. A big educational piece to what you guys do. What are some of the ways you try to get out there and bring people into?
Education is a huge part of what we do, what we do here in the North Fork and kind of our overall approach to our work. We're fortunate in the North Fork and just in general to have lots of experts and expertise. So our motto is to connect people who are knowledgeable with folks who want to learn. And we try to teach around sustainable agricultural and kind of rural-based skills. And we do have a whole series of workshops that we'll be announcing, we hope, early next month sometime soon. We're finalizing the details. We are going to be doing a panel discussion at the Paradise Theater in early March in conjunction with the Conservation Center and some other partners in town around beaver and beaver restoration. And we'll be excited to make some announcements around that here really soon. Beaver, of course, are not only an incredibly important species in our ecosystems and in our water systems, our watersheds, but they're very topical. People are talking about beaver a lot lately and their importance in kind of climate resiliency. And so we're excited to kind of keep educating folks around that topic and promoting that conversation.
Wow, that topic there, that one that has just gone full circle really over the last, couple hundred years. I mean, to think that we're talking about allowing beavers to have their beaver ponds back and live in their watersheds, that's amazing to me. Let's talk about watersheds, such an important thing.
So a few of the place names here, actually, like Rubidoux and LaRue, Rubidoux in particular, a French-Canadian trapper in this area, was part of that whole kind of the first resource boom in the Mountain West was fur and was beaver, and they're almost extirpated from this area. And if you look on maps, I remember when I first moved here looking on an old topo map and seeing beaver jungle up somewhere up on the flanks of Mount Gunnison up there,
neat.
Coal Basin, and hiked up there, and it's, you know, mostly you can see where the beaver ponds were, but when we were up there it was all historic. They were gone for the most part in that particular area, but beaver are coming back and we are seeing more of them, and there are some tremendous beaver wetlands in the Gunnison Basin for sure. There's some wonderful ones.
Yeah, it's what a great creature. I can't wait for the presentation at the Paradise, because there's nothing funner to sit around and watch a beaver when you're out in the woods, or to see where they've been and then, you know, hang out there till evening and dark and watch the work. Love it. 527-486-8866, KVNF Now, worm at kvnf.org. So water, super important for food security. You want to talk a little bit about how all these watersheds and that all fits into it? We're veering off a little bit, but it's an important thing.
So people are familiar with the term, the saying, water is life. And I think we know that here, and we know that because the first settlers that moved into this area after the Utes were removed, one of the first things they did was build irrigation ditches and put water to orchards and to their farm fields. And some of the earliest examples from public lands advocacy and public lands protection in the valley was actually working to protect the watershed up on the what's now the Gunnison National Forest and was like the Gunnison Forest Reserve originally, and for orchardists in the North Fork Valley. And it was even back then in the early 1900s renowned already for orchard fruits and for value-added agriculture. And so that watershed that need to protect the watershed, to protect the water source for the agricultural here, goes back to the earliest times of our settlement here in the valley. I think it runs through all the way up to the public lands advocacy work that's going on here today.
Sure, sure. Water is life. We were chatting just before the show about John Wesley Powell and his adventure down the Colorado River. And you mentioned his wisdom of water way back then.
Well, he had said that we should manage the West by watershed, because he could tell it was the scarce limiting resource for the U.S. Southwest, and that wisdom was not followed then, and now over 100 years later, and 100 years past the Colorado River Compact that initially split up the river, we understand that maybe we should have managed it by watershed. And we have that opportunity in the Gunnison Basin in a way that we might not in other places. It's actually by volume, probably usually the second largest tributary to the Colorado River system. And it's a relatively small geography, if you think about it.
Oh, so there's the opportunity there to be able to manage it. What are some of the solutions in management practices we can put in place that we're not doing now?
I'm not a water manager. One of the places our organization, the Colorado Farm and Food Alliance, is really interested in working this year is in helping to teach about, learn about, and encourage the expansion of what our sometimes called nature-based climate solutions. And these could be, they are things like watershed restoration. So beaver and other watershed restoration on public lands as well as private lands. But it's also like regenerative agriculture and kind of some practices that I think we're already leading in here in the North Fork Valley that we can really center as examples of climate leadership as well. And that's those practices build resilience. They building soil stores moisture. And so it's like a reservoir itself that keeps that water up here in the high up in the watershed. It's also a practice that helps manage carbon by putting carbon in the soil as part of a carbon scheme. So
that would be cover crops and other landscape.
All sorts of practices can benefit that, but cover cropping and reduced till are some of the more common and familiar practices.
Yeah, and you're right. We are already using a lot of those practices here in the North Fork, and it is a great example. And I didn't know that about the Gunnison Watershed being such a large contributor to the Colorado River Basin, but being that small geographic area. It's kind of a magical place.
Right, and I mean, we have a tremendous opportunity here, both in terms of those kind of nature-based solutions. We have tremendous public lands that also have a lot of backcountry still, a lot of untrammeled lands that could be secured with additional protections to conserve those values. That has additional benefits and beyond watershed protection, of course, habitat. Parallel to what's happening with the climate, we're also facing a biodiversity crisis that has agriculture in its crosshairs. It's not just that we don't want to lose all those species. It's that we rely on those species.
Yeah, absolutely. All of this is part of food security.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, and I think you mentioned resilience, and that's so important. You know, what's in one is in the whole kind of thing, and we all individually need to be resilient, and that just goes out to all of our systems need to be the same. I mean, we've got to live within that. All right, 527-486-8866 KVNF now. Some of the other projects that you have going on, you had a last year an equity garden.
Right. So, again, part of the way we think of food security is in terms of equity and food justice. So making sure that things like good, nutritious, organic, and high-quality food is accessible to everyone in Colorado, and that nutrition is an outcome that benefits the community, right? If we have awesome. Nourished people in the community, then yeah. that's good, right?
Good thing. So, you are what you eat.
Right. And last year, we began the year by being able to partner with Nourish Colorado and Center for Science in the Public Interest, looking and asking folks who were SNAP shoppers who use the SNAP benefit to how that program could be improved. And it's so important to think about, you know, quality food and the right of people to have quality food and to have access to quality food. And so we wanted to think about that. And when COVID hit, it was an opportunity for us to think, oh, how can we put that to practice here in the Valley? And so we started doing some projects like the Plant a Row Project, which worked to connect volunteer gardeners with extra plant starts and then help them get those growing and help get that directed into food sharing programs. And then we began doing some gleaning work, which is working with orchards or people who have orchards that they have already picked or are not picking, and to help get those picked and get that. And then Uproot, we're lucky that Uproot Colorado has located a coordinator here, Abby Anderson, who's kind of taken gleaning to a next level here in the Valley. And so if folks have extra fruit to pick, please reach out to, you could reach out to us or to Uproot Colorado. And that, all that has an added benefit, again, of two things, in addition to helping people who might need that food. But one is reducing food waste, and the other is encouraging community service. And so we'd like to do both those.
Yeah, it seems like a really big community building opportunity. And Uproot is a new organization. As you said, they've got a coordinator here.
Their coordinator here in Delta County's within the last year or so. Mm-hmm. But they've been around a little while in Colorado.
Yeah, and they, what is their primary focus?
They're a gleaning organization. They don't only work with orchards. That's kind of a big focus here in the North Fork, but they work with farms all around Colorado to help get extra food that wouldn't have been picked and to get it into food banks and food pantries.
Yeah. And there can be a lot of that.
And their mission is specifically to reduce food waste and to feed people.
Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, that goes
I'm pretty sure I don't speak for them, but
well, I appreciate you letting us know what they're up to. It seemed like last year was just such an abundance of food. The apple trees all around town. And I mean, when you walked around town, you were thinking, I hope there's someone out there gleaning this stuff, because it was just amazing the amount of food that's out there. Okay, 527-486-8866 KVNF now. So we talked about the Equity Garden. Plant a Row is where you can volunteer to be involved with gardening, up your garden game, contribute food, even learn more yourself about how to increase your yields, that kind of thing, right?
Right. And we have, again, a lot of workshops. We're going to have an outdoor workshop space set back up, and that's where we'll have like some equity garden and some demonstration gardens with some pollinator plantings and some other things like that. So we'll have like opportunity to be doing, again, a lot of more workshops. I do want to mention our detailed report we've been doing actually around climate change in the Gunnison Basin. And so we've been working, or I should say Lauren has been working for about a couple years now, developing just a very detailed look at climate change and what's happening in the Gunnison Basin around climate change. And we're preparing to release that report. And
yeah, that's been in the news a little bit lately. So who are you releasing the report to? The public or?
Right. So we're basically releasing the report because we have been compiling all this data and we figured we should present our findings, right? Mm-hmm. But our purpose in it is to continue to compile this because we want to understand what's happening here. And we want to understand what the opportunities are that we think we can engage with to help address it. And so the first part of that is looking at kind of indicators and impacts. So what we see that tells us that we know climate change is really happening here and with some rapidity. And then the impacts of that is closely related, but how does that affect the things we're relying on, right? We see the temperature going up. We see the precipitation cycles being altered. We can tell that the concentration of greenhouse gases is increasing in the atmosphere. But what does that mean, right? What does that mean to food systems, water systems, infrastructure? So we look at all that, and then we kind of look at, a couple avenues for action that we think are really, we're really well situated for here in the Gunnison area.
That could be implemented and actually...
Yeah. That could make a difference in that we could be real leaders on, right? The whole nation and world can really look at and say, wow, this is what rural climate action looks like.
Yeah. That's exciting. There's just so many resources in this valley, and you're part of building those networks, connecting all of those, helping to connect all those dots for us. There's a lot of good dots out here. We live in a great place.
There's a lot of tremendous work being done. There's like a lot of great leadership, and we are, we imagine ourselves as a kind of a convening and clearing. We're trying to pull the information together, but we're just really excited that there are so many good leaders and good organizations here in this region.
Yeah, and that's what it feels like. It feels like all of these things are coming to fruition, and we're all kind of coming to the same place, and we're all connecting together, and it's really exciting with the research station up there and organizations like yours and just everybody that's really interested in growing good food. And I think that's a distinction that needs to be made. It's good food.
Yeah, we're so fortunate. I mean, I think, we're so lucky to have the quality food that we have here. And another issue that's important to us that gets to the issue behind food security, and that's what makes a secure rural community, or what makes a livable rural community. And so one thing we're really interested in is things like how can we cultivate that next generation of farmers? How can we keep farming viable on small acres that allows for kind of the type of family farm that we have here in the North Fork? And it's a tricky thing, because as we make a food scene attractive, we can't force out people who are working in the food economy. And so how do we create affordable rural communities that also produce high quality, you know, and it's a real challenging issue, but it's at the heart of food security, because we can't have secure farms if we don't have affordable farm communities.
There you go. And I think we're all feeling some of those pains right now, probably all over the country, but certainly here in Western Colorado. And it's something to think about when you're planting your garden, when you're buying your food, when you're out at the farmer's market. I mean, those are the things that we need to bring ourselves just to a different level of consciousness about. And I appreciate the work that you're doing out there for that. What else exciting might you have down the pipe for 2023?
Well, as I mentioned, we kind of in our work, we've been kind of looking at places where we think there can be action taken that we're kind of well suited to take. And I talked a little bit before about nature-based solutions, which I think kind of encompass a couple things. One is kind of land conservation and land restoration. So staying attuned to developments and opportunities to protect public lands is still important to what we're doing, and we'll be paying attention to that. We are going to be putting out information that we've been gathering around the climate, our what we call our climate report, and figuring out some hopefully interesting ways to present that information, because it's about a 35-page report with 90 footnotes, and we want to make it accessible, and so we don't expect people to necessarily sort through that, so we want to think of some interesting ways to be able to present that information, which we think is really,
critical.
It is. And we're going to be doing a lot of workshops and kind of some the community education piece that we talked, that I mentioned. And so that's kind of in the kind of the nature-based solution stuff, and regenerative agriculture would be a part of that, and teaching some of those and techniques, practices, sharing those, figuring out how to encourage wider adaptation. And then kind of the other thing that I haven't talked about is solar on farms and rural electrification. And so how can we take advantage of not only the solar opportunity here, but make sure that as the economy electrifies around the nation, that rural places aren't left behind. And that when we do that, we don't run roughshod over rural places. So how do we make sure that solar and electrification can happen with agriculture? And there's all sorts of exciting ways it can happen, but communities have to be kind of in the driver's seat and helping to steer that, or else it may not happen. And it may not happen that way. I mean, solar is coming, electrification is coming.
And what do you mean electrification?
I mean, things are going to be moving towards electrification.
Like electric cars. And
like electric everything. Mm-hmm. Or like electric a lot of things. Mm-hmm. It'll happen here slower than it happens other places, because it'll happen in urban and suburban places first, but just because. But that's part of what is happening. And some of those trends are happening in a way that, whether we dig our heels in or not, it's still going to happen. And so the question is, how can we protect and preserve and maintain what we love and want here, which is, I think, agriculture and local food.
Yeah, I think we all agree with that.
Right? Mm-hmm. And how can we fit renewables and rural renewables over that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Wow, you're bringing a lot of the pieces of the puzzle together. And thanks for building those networks out there. And thanks for all of your knowledge and spearheading that. I like activists that make a difference. So appreciate that.
Well, everything we do, we can only do because we have community support. Well,
Pete Kolbenschlag, Colorado Farm and Food Alliance. Thanks so much for being here, Pete.
Great. Thank you, Jill.
Yeah.
Who you're about to make a sign to. I got a gal that I love so.